Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, December 10, 2023, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Does it seem like it's a little bit too loud? Is it no? It's fine? How about now? All right. Okay. All right. We are studying the biblical doctrine of sanctification, and the key word here is the verb hagiazo. Looks like this in the Greek. That's H-A-G-I-A-Z long O. Hagiazo means to set apart. And God has a fantastic plan for the church age saints. The church age began at Pentecost, concludes at the rapture. We're living in the time of the church age. And in this dispensation, God has a plan that includes sanctification. And that sanctification means that God is setting us apart in three phases. Phase one, sanctification, is set at salvation. Positional sanctification. One of the seven ministries performed by God the Holy Spirit as salvation is the baptism of the Spirit, in which God the Holy Spirit enters each believer into union with Jesus Christ. And this is the way in which the royal family of God is formed. We are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, making us royal family of God forever. This never occurred outside of the church age. This is positional sanctification. We are hagiazoed. We are set apart forever as royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ. That's the first stage, phase one sanctification or positional sanctification. The second part is phase two sanctification. That's the believer in time. That is experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification is the function of living the unique spiritual life God has given to us today in the church age after salvation. In our verse, Romans 6:19, the phrase, "So now put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness, resulting in sanctification," that is emphasizing phase two sanctification, experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification is accomplished by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills, fulfilling the spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or powered by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means, first of all, finding, and it's not easy to find anymore, a sound doctrinal teaching church. But when you do, then consistently and faithfully assemble with humility and positive volition and learn and believe the Word of God. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the third is executing God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. Experiential sanctification is described as the believer placing himself under orders as a slave to righteousness, the righteousness of God. Being in union with Christ through positional sanctification, the baptism of the Spirit, the royal family of God shares all that Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is absolute righteousness, so we share the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ and therefore have a double portion of righteousness. Jesus Christ is eternal life, and therefore we share the eternal life of Jesus Christ. We have a double portion of eternal life. So, after salvation, the church age believer is commanded to put himself under orders in slavery to righteousness. That sharing the righteousness of Christ means that Jesus Christ is now our new authority. Experiential sanctification is accomplished by fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures is the agent of experiential sanctification. Jesus Christ taught us that in John 17:17. Sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia, absolute truth. Thy word, the word of God, is aletheia, is absolute truth. And then Ephesians 5:26, that having purified her, the church, he might sanctify her by means of the washing of water with the word of God, Bible doctrine. Now that brings us to the third part of the doctrine of sanctification, phase three sanctification, and that's the believer in eternity. And the believer in eternity, this is ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification. So, one, ultimate sanctification refers to the believer in the eternal state. The believer in the eternal state. Two, it is the believer in his resurrection body in the eternal state. In eternity, every believer will have a resurrection body. And we're studying that in our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, great chapter, and learning all about the body we're living in now, which is called a tent, very temporary body we live in, but God has waiting for us a resurrection body. That's 2 Corinthians 5. That's our Wednesday night class. So it is the believer in his resurrection body in the eternal state. In eternity, every believer will have a resurrection body. Until the rapture of the church occurs, all church age believers who die go to heaven in an interim body where there is equally great happiness and blessing to all believers, whether they are winner or loser believers, makes no difference. Three, then at the rapture, the end of the church age, the resurrection of the royal family, at the rapture, all church age believers receive their resurrection bodies. That occurs at the rapture. Both those already in heaven, and that's the dead in Christ, will rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And then there's one generation that will not see physical death. They will be alive when the rapture occurs. And those alive on the earth, that's the phrase, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up raptured together with them in the cloud, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So at the rapture, the resurrection of the church age believers, all church age believers receive their resurrection bodies, both those already in heaven and those alive on the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Four. So ultimate sanctification is the state of being blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. Blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 3. You might have the word there, blessed. It means worthy of praise and glorification. The God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us, elected us to privilege in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. There's experiential sanctification, believer in time, and blameless. There is ultimate sanctification, blameless before him, and that's in eternity in our resurrection body. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:8. 1 Corinthians 1:8. He, Jesus Christ, will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is ultimate sanctification, your resurrection body, living with Jesus Christ forever in eternity. So ultimate sanctification is the state of being blameless before God, possessing our resurrection body. Five, following the rapture of the church, That's the end of the church age. That's the resurrection of every church age believer. Following the rapture of the church, there is the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will be evaluated by Jesus Christ. We will all be evaluated by the Lord to see whether or not we receive greater grace, blessings, crowns, and rewards, or whether we miss out on them. So we're here a very short time, but we need to be living our life in the light of eternity. Live our life in the light of eternity. We're given a command, redeem the time. Make the most of the time God has given you. James tells us that we're a mist, we're a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. In the short time while we are here, redeem the time. Make the most of your time. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, because we're going to all be evaluated. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ and be evaluated. Are you a winner believer or a loser believer? Or somewhere in between. If you're a winner believer, you will receive phenomenal crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. If you're a loser believer, you lose out on those things. You don't lose your salvation. You'll still be in heaven. But you lose out. No crowns and reward for the loser believer. Great inequality in heaven. So following the rapture of the church at the judgment seat of Christ, winner believers will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for the eternal state. Following the rapture of the church at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, winner believers will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for the eternal state. 6. Ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He's the head. We are his body right now. But ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ into the bride of Christ. So right now we're the body of Christ. He's the head, we're his body. But following the rapture, we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, which he is going to do, Jesus Christ is going to come back to planet earth at the second advent. When he comes back, we're coming back with him. And we're coming back as his bride. And so here comes Jesus Christ at the second advent to establish his kingdom on earth. He brings his bride with him, and that's you and me. We're here as the bride of Christ. And for 1,000 years, there's a wedding celebration. A 1,000 year wedding celebration. Wahoo! And I know, and you know, Jesus Christ, when he was here the first time, he turned the water into wine, not grape juice. He turned the water into wine. The best wine that anybody has ever had on planet Earth was at that wedding where the Lord turned the water into wine. We come back with him at the second advent, 1,000-year wedding celebration. And the Lord will provide the wine. And you'll have a resurrection body. Some of you will probably still get drunk. No, I know. Just knowing you, that's all. So ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ into the bride of Christ. 7. In ultimate sanctification, the church is resurrected aristocracy. In ultimate sanctification, the church is resurrected aristocracy, and therefore we are different from all other resurrections. The royal family of God shares in the coronation and triumph of Jesus Christ at the second advent. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth and establishing his kingdom on this earth 1,000 years. Perfect environment. Perfect environment. Perfect air, perfect water, perfect food, perfect health, perfect prosperity, and perfect peace. Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling planet Earth. Man will learn war no more when Jesus Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom on earth. All right, so verse 19, Romans 6:19, then sounds like this. In fact, let's start at verse 16. Romans 6, verses 16 to 19. Do you not know that the one to whom you paristemi, place yourselves under orders, under authority as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey? Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in righteousness, grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer, But now you have wholeheartedly obeyed that system of truth, the Word of God, in which system of truth you were instructed. They were instructed by the Apostle Paul. Verse 18. And having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to righteousness, the righteousness of God. I am speaking in human terms. I'm simply using a human illustration because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. For just as you have put your members under orders in slavery to every category of immorality and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now, as believers, put your members under orders in slavery to righteousness, resulting in sanctification, specifically here, experiential sanctification. All right? With our heads bowed. If there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Jesus Christ, and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question. It's a Son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in Him, there's the gift of eternal life. For the ones who reject Him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank You for the privilege of fellowshipping with You and Your Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.